And welcome back to our Jumpstart, Microsoft Tools for VMware Integration and Migration. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm joined today by Anu V. And we've been talking a lot about Vs, VMware, VMM, and we've got another V to introduce today, Anu V here. Now, as we've gone through this module today, we've kind of walked through actually building the infrastructure, building the framework. And so we saw that we managed our infrastructure with VMM. We saw that we're monitoring it with Operations Manager, we're automating it with Orchestrator, and now we're going to the next step, which is thinking about, hey, you've got this integrated hybrid environment, let's start moving some of our VMware services over towards the Microsoft platform, so moving our VMware virtual machines to becoming Hyper-V virtual machines as well. Now, as we look through the course of the day, we've really kind of covered the basics here, but I'm going to turn it over to Anu V and let her introduce herself.
Thank you. Thanks, Simon. So I'm Anupama Vedapuri, or Anu V, as Simon calls me. I'm a program manager at Microsoft. I've been a program manager here for the last 5 years, and I've worked on the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter tool as a PM, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But other than that, I've also been working on other IT pro-centric tools and solution accelerators. And solution accelerators are freely downloadable IT pro-centric tools that are fully Microsoft supported. My role has been primarily dealing with virtualization and cloud-based solutions in a nutshell.
What are some of the other most common solution accelerators other people might know about?
So a lot of folks may have played or deployed MAP, Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, SEM, MDT. So those are all some of the common solution accelerators that have been heavily deployed in enterprises today.
Great. Well, of course, our focus today is on the MVMC, Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. So why don't we move to the agenda and walk us through what we're going to be covering today?
Sounds great. So as part of the agenda today, what we have is an overview of the tool. So we're going to be talking about what is this Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. We're also going to take a little bit deeper dive and understand some of the capabilities of the tool and how you can use it. We're going to talk about supported configuration as part of that. I'll also be doing a couple of demos today. One of them is about the virtual machine conversion scenario, and the other one is the offline disk conversion. I'll be showing both of these in the end of the presentation to set some context.
Excellent. So give us an overview of the MVMC. What exactly is this utility?
So let's dive into that, right? So Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, we talked about solution accelerators a little bit. So it's a solution accelerator. It's Microsoft supported. It's freely downloadable.
Free download. I think that's a key thing as well. So you can go today to downloads.microsoft.com, search for Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, and actually go download this right now.
That's right. And the resources link, I have a link to the download as well.
Great.
So it's freely downloadable. And essentially what it does is it's an utility that converts VMware virtual machines to hyper V-based virtual machines. So that's the core of the tool. So there are two scenarios here. One scenario is that you are a VMware customer or a partner working with a VMware customer who has a VMware virtualization host and VMs hosted on that. And you're looking for a way to convert your virtual machines to Hyper-V. That's one scenario. The other scenario could be that you're actually evaluating Hyper-V and you're figuring out, hey, so I have my virtual machines on VMware. Now, how is it going to work on Hyper-V? Is it going to meet my requirements? So that's the evaluation scenario. So you could use the tool for both of those scenarios. So one scenario is conversion itself. So you've already evaluated Hyper-V. So Server 2012 Hyper-V is cool. You want to actually migrate your VMs to it. So that's one scenario. The second scenario is you're actually looking at Hyper-V and figuring out, do I want to move my VMs to Hyper-V? And what happens to my existing VMs? How do they work on Hyper-V? That's the second scenario. So that's what the tool basically does as an overview. So it's a quick, low-risk way for VMware customers because it's very easy to set up and you can go ahead, figure out how to deploy it and then convert it, convert VMware VMs to Hyper-V. So that's what we're going to talk about in a little bit more detail.
Now, is there any type of dependency on any other Microsoft product? Do they need Virtual Machine Manager to be able to use this?
So it is a standalone solution. It doesn't have any System Center dependencies, but it does work seamlessly with System Center once the VMs are migrated into Hyper-V. So we're going to talk about that a little bit next couple of bullet points.
Great.
Another thing that's cool about the tool is it provides a way for you to stitch the conversion into your IT automation workflows, such as ones that you build using Orchestrator. I believe you have a great session before on Orchestrator, so you've learned about IT automation workflows and runbooks and all of the cool stuff. So you can actually plug in your conversion into your IT automation workflows. And we'll talk about that, how we can do that in a little bit. The other thing that's cool is that you can actually plug the conversion into your scripting scenarios. So if you have a script, custom script, where you want to plug the conversion into, you can easily do that.
So it can fit in with Orchestrator as well, right? Not a problem there. We can automatically migrate.
That's right.
Tie things up. And then after migration, I mean, you could even use Orchestrator to bring those VMs online if you wanted, right?
That's absolutely true. That's a possibility. You could bring them online. You could configure network connectivity. You can do a bunch of things once the VMs are migrated.
Great.
So one of the things we spoke about earlier is it can be used as a standalone solution, or once you do the migration, once the VMs are hosted on Hyper-V post-migration, then you can actually manage them through VMM, monitor them to Ops Manager. You can do all whatever you can do in a System Center managed environment, you could do that with the migrated VM. That's going to work seamlessly. And the neatest thing about this is it's got a super low install footprint, less than 5 MB. So what that means for you is that it's very easy to set up. You don't have any setup overheads. It's very quick, fairly easy to set up and start using the tool and evaluate it for conversion or actually do the conversion.
Very nice. Now, where would you actually go ahead and install this tool? So like I download it, where does it run?
So it can be installed on Windows Server 2012. It can be installed on Windows 7 or 2008 R2. You can install it on the Hyper-V host itself, or you can install it on a separate machine. So there is a three-machine scenario and a two-machine scenario, and both are supported for the tool.
But it still requires that you have a version of Microsoft, either Windows Client or Windows Server, that it runs on. So, for example, you couldn't run this directly on your ESX host, is that correct?
That's correct. That's okay. Absolutely correct. So these are the three operating systems that are supported where the tool can be installed: Server 2012, 2008 R2, and Windows 7.
Okay, great, great. Now, should we move on and talk a little bit about the capabilities that we have?
Sounds great. Let's do that. Let's dive right in. So let's talk about what the tool does, right? We spoke about conversion a little bit. So what does it mean? What does conversion mean? So when you think about VM conversion, there are three things that you want to think about. The first thing is you're going to think about, when I bring this VM up on Hyper-V, is it going to have the same configuration? Is it going to have the same processors? Is it going to have similar memory? Is it going to have the same network interface cards, virtual network adapters? That's one thing that you're going to think about, the configuration of the VM itself.
Okay.
The second thing that you're going to think about is the disks itself. So you have an operating system on the VM. You have a guest on the VM, which is booting out of a boot disk, a virtual disk that's VMware supported. Right, so what is the operating system and how is it going to boot? That's the second thing. And there's going to be data on the VM. So there's possibly data disks, right? So that's another thing that you're going to think about. So when you're talking about bringing up this VM on Hyper-V from VMware, you're going to think about all of these aspects. And you're going to think about a way to bring all of that into Hyper-V.
I think you kind of bring up a good point here. Whether a virtual machine is running on a Hyper-V infrastructure or on a VMware infrastructure, there's a set of commonalities between them, right? They have a disk, they have a guest operating system, and they have parameters such as, you know, the size, memory, network type of thing. And so essentially, what we're trying to do here is basically map these, right? We take this information on our VMware host, and then we go in and abstract in this metadata, this information, converting that over to our Hyper-V host.
And that's a really good way to think about it. So there is metadata, and there's also disks. Now, one thing that you have to consider is the disks are right now in a VMware format, which is VMDK. Correct. So when you do the conversion, you need the disks on Hyper-V, but you need to convert them into a format that Hyper-V understands, which is the VHD format. So that's exactly what the converter does. It understands what the configuration is. It understands what the disk format on the source is and converts it to a format that the destination, which is Hyper-V, can understand, and then brings it up on Hyper-V. So what we're talking about here is two instances of the VM. One is on the source with its configuration, with its disks. The second one is on the another destination with the same configuration, the disks converted and then brought up on Hyper-V. So that's what we're talking about here.
Great. And so I think for our VMware administrators, you know, moving from this concept of what is a VMware virtual machine and these different components to what is a Hyper-V virtual machine and those different components, there's a one-for-one parallel mapping. So if you're an experienced VMware admin, moving over to Hyper-V and understanding these core virtualization concepts, you don't have to learn new stuff, right? You have things such as memory, disk I/O, networks. Same concept whether you're running on VMware or whether you're running on Hyper-V. So there's just some things that change, such as the name of components, the way they're configured, but the underlying mechanisms of how virtualization works and the key components to compile a VM, it's identical. So don't think that if you're moving to Hyper-V, you've got to learn stuff brand new. Really, you can use a lot of these same learning, best practices, concepts, regardless of which virtualized environment you're using.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a really good way to think about it. The key thing to know about the tools, we talked about conversion a little bit. How do we do the conversion, right? So there should be some way to do the conversion that we talked about. So there are multiple ways that you can do it through the standalone tool. There is a UI, so when you install the tool, you get a UI, a wizard-driven UI that lets you do the conversion. That's the first tool that allows you to do the conversion. We spoke about, a little while back, we spoke about orchestrator workflows, we spoke about scripting. So how do we light those up? To do that, the tool provides command line interfaces to do the machine conversion. So you can plug it in. Command line can be plugged into orchestrator workflows. It can be plugged into a PowerShell script, and so on and so forth. So that's what is lighted up through the tool.
Very nice.
And now you'll see a new concept come up called disk conversion. We haven't spoken about this yet. What the disk conversion lets you do is it lets you convert offline VMDKs to VHDs. So we spoke about VM conversion. VM conversion requires the VMs hosted on a vSphere host, on a ESX, ESXi host. Disks, on the other hand, are on your local file system. And it's an offline conversion mechanism where you don't need to connect to the vSphere host. So that's the difference between the VM conversion and the disk conversion. The other difference is that in the case of VM conversion, we talked about the VM configuration aspect, bringing that over onto the new VM on Hyper-V. In the case of the offline disk conversion, we start with the VMDK, convert it to a VHD, and that's the end point. We don't bring the configuration over in this scenario. It's great for VMs that are not running, like demo VMs that you have on your local file system, that you're not at this moment running on your vSphere host, but you have your demo VMDKs and you want to bring them over to VHDs and convert them. So it's a great scenario for that.
Great.
So that's basically the offline conversion from VMDK to VHD.
Now, what about VM tools? You know, if we're taking a guest operating system, VMware has its integration components, VM tools installed. Microsoft, we have a similar concept to VM tools, integration components. Basically, it allows our host operating system to get some insight into the guest and do things such as start the guest OS, power it on, check the health, things like that. But now, if we're going to move from our VMware environment that has VM tools installed over to our Windows Server environment that needs the integration components installed, how do we handle that?
That's a great question. That was going to be my next talking point. Right on. So yeah, you're right. So VMware tools are required for VMware VMs, and we are actually creating VMs on Hyper-V. And if we leave the VMware tools in, they're kind of noise. So older operating systems, like for example Windows Server 2003, may not like them too much. Windows 7, Server 2008, they may be self-healing and they may come up fine. But Windows Server 2003 sometimes may not like them. It may be noise that's not needed. So to ensure a clean migration, what the tool does is it uninstalls the VMware tools automatically on the source VMs. So when you actually convert the disks, attach them to the new VM on Hyper-V, the VMware tools will not be there. So that's one thing to remember. The second thing that you brought about, really good point, is on the integration components, integration services. So integration services are needed for Hyper-V VMs. Now, for Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2, again, those are already built in and they automatically get installed. But for an older operating system, guest like Server 2003, we kickstart the installation of integration components. So we automate the installation. So they come up and the VM can be automatically usable and you can connect to it and all that. So that's automated in the tool for just 2003 guests. And for the others, it's automatically there, so we don't need to automate it.
Excellent.
So I think one hidden thing that a lot of people don't know about, even those who have played with the VM converter, is about the vSphere client plugin. It's a really cool utility. What it does is it allows you a way to invoke the conversion from vSphere client. So the exact same MVMC UI, wizard UI that I'll be demoing today can be invoked from within the context of the vSphere client. So if you're a VMware user who's very familiar with the vSphere client, then you have your familiar user interface, you have your VMs showing up on that, connecting through ESX, ESXi, vCenter, whatever. And from there, you can invoke the conversion capability right from the context of your vSphere client in your VM in there. So that's actually a very neat capability if you're very used to vSphere client and you live right there. So
very nice. So before we actually go into the details of the conversion, I've got one question that I've already seen come up several times. Is this conversion hot or cold? Meaning, is there going to be downtime? Is this going to be live? Before I let you answer that, I just want to actually address one other question that I've seen as well. Can you do a live migration or vMotion from your ESX environment to your Hyper-V environment? No, that's not possible. There's a lot of architectural considerations around how a live migration or vMotion works. So you can't do a live movement from one environment to another with zero downtime. So let's actually jump into this question now. How does the MVMC work with hot or cold conversions?
That's a very common question that I get. So MVMC does warm and cold conversions.
Warm and cool, but not hot, just warm.
But not hot.
Okay.
So what is a warm conversion? So warm conversion means that the VM is running when you start the conversion on the source. And it can convert a running VM, but there is a little bit of downtime. The downtime is from when you connect to the host and get the disks out of the VM and you start converting it. So there is a little bit of downtime when you actually download the VMDKs onto the converter machine. And once the VMDKs are downloaded, then the VM can be brought back online. The source VM can be brought back online. So there is a little bit of downtime during the conversion process, but it can convert a running VM. So in that context, it's like a warm conversion. So which means that the disks are offline and you don't need to be connected to the VMware source and you convert the offline disk. So that's a cold conversion scenario. So warm and cold are the two supported scenarios for the two.
Great, thanks for clarifying. Well, let's move on to the next slide. Let's actually walk through this virtual machine conversion and what these different steps are that we do here.
Sounds good, so let's do that. So this is a workflow. It basically helps you visualize how the converter works, the workflow for the converter. But I'll also be showing a demo that walks through the same flow, but you'll understand the demo better if I show you this workflow. So in here, I have three components. The IT operator machine, which is basically where the tool can be installed. We spoke about this a little bit earlier, that the tool can be installed on the Hyper-V host itself. So I could potentially install it here or in a different machine. So this is a three machine scenario. Then there is the VMware host, which could be your ESX or ESXi host, or it could be a vCenter server that manages these hosts. So you could connect to any of these sources. And there is the Microsoft hypervisor, which is Server 2012 Hyper-V or 2008 R2 Hyper-V. So we'll talk about the supported configuration later on, but these are the components involved. Now for a conversion, what are the inputs that you need? Let's talk about that a little bit. So you first of all need a source. You need to target a source. We talked about that a little bit. ESX, ESXi host, or vCenter. So you need to target a source, and the source has a list of VMs. And you have to select a VM or specify a VM for conversion. So that's what you're doing here, targeting a VM for conversion. And if you look at the VM, you will see that it has VMware tools, which is the tools guy in the middle, right here. You have a set of disks, which were the VMDKs that we spoke about, and the VM has configuration itself. We talked about these. As an input, you also need the Hyper-V destination. So what is the target? So you need to specify that. Once you have these inputs specified, you can start the conversion. Now, one of the things that we spoke about was the uninstallation of VMware tools. We said we don't need them when we actually bring this VM up on Hyper-V, so we're going to uninstall them. Now, before we do that, we want to make sure that we have the VM in its original state. So what we do is we take a snapshot of the VM. So once we take a snapshot of the VM, now we can go ahead and uninstall the tool. So at any point, we always can restore from that snapshot. So the tools are now gone. So great. Now once the tools are uninstalled, what I'm going to be doing next is shutting off the machine. So this is the downtime that we spoke about. It was a running VM, now we shut down the machine. So now the downtime starts. Once that happens, then we basically download the VMDKs onto the converter machine. Then we said, hey, Hyper-V can't understand this format, so we need to convert it to VHD, which is what's happening here. After that, we copy the VHD to the hypervisor, to the destination Hyper-V host. Bring up a VM, create a VM on Hyper-V with the same configuration as the source. Attach the disks to the Hyper-V VM, the VHDs. And at this point, so here the destination VM is on, but you could specify whether it can be on or off. It's a user preference whether it can be on or off. Same for the source. And I think one of the things that happened that I didn't talk about was that when you actually downloaded the disks, I think we can go back to that a little bit so you can see that clearer. So let's do that again. We downloaded the disks. And what you will see here is that the VM is restored to its original state. So we didn't talk about that. So once we download, the VM is restored from the snapshot we took. So it has the tools back on. And now we convert it, copy it. We spoke about that. Created a VM, attached the VM, attached the VHDs. We spoke about all of that. And then the VM can be in a started or a stopped state based on user preference. Here it is in a started state. So that's kind of the workflow of the tool. And once that happens, then you say, yay, successful conversion, it's completed. So and you can test it out at that point.
Excellent. Well, I just want to remind our viewers that we do have several polls that we will be asking for this hour. So if you're in full screen mode, if you could minimize, three polls over the course of the hours, and go ahead and give us some feedback on this first one. But a question over for you now. Do people need to do anything to prepare these VM virtual machines to be used by the MVMC? Any preparation work done on the VMware side?
So their preparation is in terms of the VMs meeting certain assumptions for a successful conversion. And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit on what VMs are eligible for conversion or which VMs can I convert and which VMs I cannot convert.
But in general, you're saying, let's say it's an eligible VM. They don't need to do anything special. They don't need to go and install an agent inside the VM, anything like that.
Yeah, it's an agentless conversion. You need to make sure that you have enough space on the converter machine for your converted VHDs and downloading the VMDKs. So that's something that you need to ensure. You need to ensure that you have enough space on the destination Hyper-V host for copying the VHDs. Those are the kind of things that you need to prepare before you start the conversion.
Now that was actually another question that came up as well. What do we do about where we actually place this new VMDK file? Do we get to specify a storage location, for example? Could we place it on cluster shared volumes inside a cluster? Things like that.
So the VHD can be placed in a CSP share that's supported, or it can be placed on any local file system path on the Hyper-V destination. So both are supported.
Great. So you have a lot of flexibility in that final destination, final
place. That's right. That's right.
Great. That sounds great. Well, let's jump back to the presentation and kind of review what virtual machines are eligible for conversion.
Great. So let's talk about that. So the tool supports Windows-based guest operating systems. So if you have a Linux VM, you can't convert that using the VM conversion tool. But For example, Ubuntu, which has integration services built into the kernel, if you have a VMDK from Ubuntu server and you use the offline disk conversion utility, you can convert that to a VHT, create a VM on Hyper-V, and then attach the VHT just for Ubuntu, because it's basically very nicely integrated with integration components into the kernel and Ubuntu 12.04 specifically.
Okay, so let me repeat that back to you, make sure that we're understanding that correctly. So there's no direct support for a Linux conversion using MVMC. However, there are plenty of tools out there that you can use, disk to VHD, other type of VHD converters that will allow you to move this over.
Correct. So okay, there is disk to VHD, but I'm talking about the offline command line utility in MVMC itself.
So you can still use MVMC to do this?
Just for Ubuntu, for example.
Okay.
For all the other Linux distros, I wouldn't recommend it, but since Ubuntu has integration services built into the kernel, 12.04 specifically,
okay,
you could use a disk conversion capability and convert the VMDKs to VHDs and bring them up on Hyper-V. So that's a possibility.
Now, what happens if we want to use some other type of Linux distribution? Could I do the offline disk conversion? Version, then could I manually install the integration components, then bring it online?
For all other distros, we don't recommend the disk conversion at this point. We just recommend it for Ubuntu at this point.
Sounds good, but there are certainly a lot of third-party tools out there that you can use to take advantage of this capability if you need.
Absolutely, great. Absolutely. So, but for the core, for the VM conversion, we're talking only about Windows guest operating system. I just wanted to bring that one anomaly that potentially can be supported.
Now, what about running or online virtual machines?
Yeah, so the VM has to be running or online. That's an assumption. So if it's an offline VM, we will not be able to target it for conversion because in this version, we are supporting running VMs where VMware tools can be uninstalled. So the VM has to be running so we can connect to it and uninstall the VMware tools. So that's the core scenario that the tool supports right now.
Great.
VMware tools have to be installed on the VM, and based on reaching out to our customers and partners, majority of VMware VMs will have VMware tools installed, almost like 98% for a well-managed VM anyway, so that shouldn't be an issue. Hosted on a supported VMware version. So when we talk about the supported configuration, I'm going to talk about what VMware versions are supported for the tool. And remote access through WMI enabled, and this is basically to allow connectivity to the VM so we can connect to it and uninstall the VMware tools. So those are at a high level the assumptions for a successful conversion. When you download the tool, what I encourage is there is an admin guide for the tool, administration guide, and that has more detailed assumptions and prerequisites. To go through that in detail would be a really good idea.
Well, I had a great question as well. It's related here. What are the supportability options for this tool? Do we have forums? Can they call up product support and ask them questions on that? What are the different options available?
So it is a Microsoft supported tool. So they can, there is a forum, there's a TechNet forum. I have a link to that on the resources page. There is a discussion alias or a support discussion alias, which is listed in the admin guide. It is also listed in the TechNet page. So they can actually reach out through the TechNet forum or the discussion alias, support alias, distribution list. Another way to reach out would be through the customer support itself, Microsoft customer support. Because the tool is supported by Microsoft, they can reach out through Microsoft customer support. So those are the three ways that they can reach out.
All right, excellent. Well, let's move back to the presentation and spend a little more time talking about our supported configurations here.
Great.
Now, I think we have some requirements talking about the source, talking about the destination, but why don't you walk us through the details?
Sure. So, in terms of supported configuration, we have supported guest operating systems. When I talk about operating systems here, if you remember the previous slide, we said it's Windows-based guests. So what are the Windows-based guests that the tool supports? Windows Server 2003, 2008, 2008 R2, Vista, and Windows 7. So those are the five that the tool supports. We also spoke about where can we install the tool and use it. So it's on Server 2012, Windows 7, and Server 2008 R2. What are the VMware sources that are supported? vSphere 4.1 and 5.0, which is ESX and ESXi. vCenter 4.1 and 5.0. So if you target vCenter, you basically get to pick VMs that are hosted on all of the hosts managed by that vCenter server. If you target ESX or ESXi, you get to pick VMs that are basically hosted on that VMware host instance. There are also different disk types, VMDKs itself, that the tool supports. VMDKs or the virtual disks, VMware virtual disks, could be attached to an IDE controller or SCSI controller on the source VM. Both are supported. VMFS and VMDK, both formats are supported, and both flat and sparse disks are supported, as well as single and multi-extend disks. From a destination perspective, on Microsoft, we have Server 2012 and Server 2008 R2 SP1 supported. Disk types, so we detect the boot disk, and what the tool does is it brings it up on the IDE controller on Hyper-V. And if it is a data disk, it's brought up on a SCSI controller. VHD, fixed and dynamic are both options given to the user. So that's kind of the matrix of what's supported for the tool. Another anomaly that I want to talk about, which is if you have, this is a frequent question that our customers have. Hey, I have ESX 4.0 and I have VMs on ESX 4.0. How do I migrate that? So the tool doesn't natively support ESX 4.0 migrations, but if you have a vCenter 4.1 or a vCenter 5.0 managing your ESX 4.0 instance host, you can actually convert VMs on ESX 4.0.
Great. So we can use that vCenter as kind of an intermediary as part of our
That's right. So vCenter 4.1 or 5.0, if that can manage your ESX 4.0, then great. We can actually support that conversion.
Now, I have another question about kind of what happens with certain pieces during the conversion. First of all, what happens to snapshots? So if VMware virtual machines, they have snapshots that are part of that to restore different points in time. How do we handle those snapshots?
So we support converting VMs with snapshots, but we take the most recent or the current version and convert it. So we don't keep a copy of all the deltas in Hyper-V.
Okay, so basically take the most recent and that's what we will move
that's
over.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Now our next question is, what type of parameters could get changed during conversion? And do I have the option to change parameters? So for example, we have memory on our old one, memory on our new one, we're going to map that directly. So if it was running, 4 gigs of RAM, it's going to stay 4 gigs of RAM. Are there any parameters that we automatically change, or do we give the option for people to change it? For example, if they want to have a new IP address, how would they go about doing that? Would that be kind of a step afterwards, or is there any integration in the tool?
Okay, so I can answer your question in a couple of parts.
One more, huh?
So the first one, do we support changing the parameters? In the tool, we do not support changing the parameters. They could go to Hyper-V Manager and change it, or use PowerShell in Server 2012 and change it on Hyper-V. Or
Virtual Machine Manager as well, I'm assuming.
Or Virtual Machine Manager, or in their scripts that they already have pre-baked, plug in the converter into their scripts and have scripts for changing post-conversion, and or use Orchestrator. They could do a bunch of things in that. So regarding IP addresses, we don't configure static IP addresses. What we do is we create virtual NICs on the destination VM. We look at the source VM, figure out how many virtual network adapters are there on the source, and create the exact same number of virtual network adapters on the destination VM. We leave the network adapters in a disconnected state. So again, that's your orchestrator scenario where you could actually build that into your workflow, figure out post-testing what is the manual cutover, what are the network configurations that you need to do, make a decision whether it's going to be automated into your workflows or it's part of your smoke test, manual cutover steps. It depends on what your IT organization's needs are. So if there are a lot of workflows before you actually turn on the destination VM, turn on the configure the static IP, avoid collisions basically between the source and destination, then it's up to you how you manage that in your IT organization. But there are ways, there are hooks that you can plug that into your workflows and actually build that in your workflows.
Great. So should we move over to a demo and let's see this in action then?
Yeah, let's do that.
Great. So after you flip over, can you just kind of show us what we're actually looking at here? What's this utility you have up on the screen? Walk us through this.
Sure. So let me actually go to the demo.
Now, while you're flipping over as well, let me ask another question that I've seen come up a few times. How do we handle bulk migrations? Or I guess another way to ask the question is, does this tool convert one virtual machine at a time, or can it convert a set? Or how would we go ahead and do that with automation?
That's a good question. So in the UI, through the UI, if you perform the conversion, you convert one virtual machine at a time. That's okay. A supported scenario. Now, in your script, you can do bulk conversions or bulk migrations in a serial manner. We don't support parallel conversions. Okay. We don't recommend parallel conversions. So you can actually script a bulk conversion, but we recommend that you do it in a serial manner.
Now, you did also say that we have a CLI, a command line interface that we can use. So I assume we could use that as part of the script, and we could use things such as Orchestrator, right?
Exactly. Okay. That's how you would use it in a script. You would plug the command line into your PowerShell scripts and or into your other custom scripts, homegrown scripts, and then perform the conversion. But what I'm recommending is that don't do parallel conversions. That's not a supported scenario.
Okay, sounds good. Well, let's jump through the demo here then.
Cool. So what we have here, what you're seeing here is the launch page or the before you begin page for the converter wizard. So once you install the tool, when you launch the UI, this is the first page that's going to come up. And as you can see here, it tells you what are all the different guest operating systems supported for conversion that we spoke about earlier. So I'm going to click next here. I ran through the UI steps once, so these values are pre-cached, just to make sure I could connect to the environment. So what I have here is VMware ESX host that I'm trying to connect to at this point. And I have the username and password to connect to the host. And this is version 4.1 that we're connecting to. As you can see here, there's a list of VMs once you connect to the host that shows up. And there's a whole list with icons and some without the information icons. So if you're wondering what those are, let's click on one with an information icon. You will see that the next button is disabled. What that means is we're not supporting this VM for conversion. This is not an eligible VM. We spoke about that. If you hover on this, you will see why it's not an eligible VM.
So it immediately gives us feedback of how this isn't supported so that we have the ability to, example, power this back on, make it supported, right?
Exactly.
Now, if somebody just powered this on, is this tool dynamic that it would detect the change, or would you want to relaunch it so it rescans?
So there is a refresh button in here where you can actually refresh the VM list, and that'll bring back the VMs in its current state once refreshed. So you could use that once you make changes to the state of the VM. So what we're going to do here is walk through this UI and try converting this Win7 Demo 3. I'm not going to complete the conversion here because it's going to take a little while. What I'm going to, however, do is I'm going to show you the same VM that I converted yesterday and kind of show you what happens on Hyper-V once we convert it. So if you look at this VM, it's currently on, it's running. And you will notice that it has 4 GB RAM and one virtual CPU. And the operating system on this is Windows 7. So those are the details that you will notice. And let's see what happens when we convert it on Hyper-V, or look at the converted VM on Hyper-V. So once I select the VM, I click Next. And in this page, I'm asked to enter the details to connect to the VM. And we spoke about this a little bit ago. We need to connect to the VM to uninstall the VMware tools on that VM. So I can either connect to it using my Windows user account, which is what I'm going to do right now, or I can basically connect to it with a different set of credentials, specified credentials. The other thing that we spoke about when we were walking through the workflow was the state of the source can be on or off once the conversion completes. The state of the destination can be on or off once the conversion completes. I'm going to indicate here that both of them are going to be off. So once we specify that, in this page, I'm going to indicate where is my VMDK going to be downloaded and where are the VHDs going to be converted. this is on my converter machine or the machine where MVMC is installed, where I'm running it, basically my current machine.
And now you said this would be a an option where we could go specify a cluster shared volumes folder. So if we wanted to use our distributed access file system, cluster shared volumes, similar to VMFS, we'd have the ability to go place it there.
We can specify that for the VHT path on the Hyper-V host. So that's the next page.
Oh, I'm a step ahead of you, am I? Okay.
You're a step ahead of me. So this is the workspace, temp workspace, where we download the VMDK and convert it to VHT.
I see. So walk me through this process then. So rather than directly pushing it on the disk, we kind of store it in a temporary location first, do all the processing. After that, we place it to the disk.
Right. So once the conversion is complete, then the VHDs are copied. The VMDK is converted to a VHD. It's copied to the Hyper-V destination to a VHD path specified. And that path can be a CSV path.
Okay, great.
So in this instance, I'm going to specify a path on the converter machine. And again, this is cached because I ran through the UI flow once. So in the next screen, what I'm going to specify is my target, the Hyper-V destination. Where do I want the VM converted, the destination? So in this case, I'm going to specify my demo machine. And again, I can use specified credentials, or I can use my Windows user account. I'm going to use my Windows user account here. I'm going to pick a path on the Hyper-V destination. And as we were talking about earlier, this is the path where you can specify a CSV path in this VHD path. Now, the VHD itself can be fixed or dynamic, and you can specify your option there.
So now we're kind of talking about, you know, different options on the Hyper-V side. I've kind of had a few questions come up asking about different options over on the VMware side. So, you know, one of the first questions that we have is talking about the boot disk, where within Hyper-V we boot from IDE. VMware boots from SCSI. So how do we kind of, you know, do we do conversion where move things from SCSI to IDE, back and forth, anything like that?
So what the converter does is, if it is a boot disk, it detects a boot disk, and it basically attaches it to the IDE controller on Hyper-V.
Okay.
If it is a data disk, it attaches it to a SCSI controller.
Ah, so we have some intelligence built in. If its boot goes this way, other disk goes this way.
That's correct. And to your other question, on the source, what are the controllers supported? We support both IDE and SCSI. So there could be disks attached to an IDE controller on VMware. VM, or they could be disks attached to a SCSI controller, and both can be converted through the two.
And is there any maximum number of disks that we are limited to? For example, this VM might have 4 disks over on the VMware side. Can we migrate all of them, convert all of them?
So we support a max of 65 disks, including the boot disks.
Pretty good, right? I don't see that we have many VMs that use more than 60 disks here.
Based on our data reaching out to customers, we haven't seen folks use more than 5 disks, 1 boot and 4 data. That's kind of the max configuration, but there could be other configurations where people are using more number of disks, and I don't imagine more than total of 65. So we basically said, hey, this looks good, and we supported that.
Great. Now, what about if they're using thin disks, you know, thinly provisioned disks, difference in disk, parents disk? Do we support those kind of different virtual machine disk options as well?
We do support them. So we support thin provision. We support flat or fixed disks. And we do support Delta disks as well, Delta VMDK. So all of them are supported.
Great. So it sounds like as far as the disks go, you know, whatever they have, chances are we're going to be able to support that, migrate it over.
That's correct. But in the case of Delta disks, we don't replicate the Delta structure, as I mentioned earlier, on Hyper-V. We don't create differencing VHDs on Hyper-V.
Okay.
We just create one disk, one VHD.
We kind of merge it as part of the conversion,
correct,
right, and have the most recent version
That's
as well.
Correct. That's correct.
Great.
So now that I have specified the destination options, I'm going to click Next. And this is a summary page that basically tells me what are the options I have specified, the host, the VM, the VHD option, and all that. And then I can click on Finish at this point, and the conversion starts. So what I'm going to do at this point is, so this is how the conversion is basically progressing. And as it is progressing, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you what I already converted yesterday, the same machine that I converted yesterday. And this is how this screen looks like. It says, hey, you converted your virtual machine successfully. The Hyper-V host is MVMC demo. The virtual machine is Win 7 demo 3. This is the operating system. And in the end, this is the UI that you get. Now let's go to Hyper-V. And let's see what the converted VM looks like. So this is on Hyper-V. This is the converted VM, Win 7 Demo 3. If you look at this, created 3/13/2013, yesterday afternoon I converted this. And let's go to the settings. Let's notice the memory here. So if you look at the memory, dynamic memory is enabled. By default, the tool enables dynamic memory. And if you look at the maximum memory here, when we notice the configuration on the source VM, it was 4 GB configuration on the source VM. So what we do is the maximum memory is set to 4 GB. And this is based on the source VM configuration. If you look at the processor, we noticed that it was a one CPU VM on the source. So we have one CPU VM on the destination. Another thing to notice is the hard drive. It's attached to an ID controller, and this is where we copied it to Win 7 Demo 3 onto the VHD path on my F drive. So that's where the VHD gets copied to the Hyper-V destination onto the ID controller. If you look at the network adapter, there's one network adapter which was there on the source, and this is in a disconnected state as we spoke about earlier.
Great. Well, I want to remind everybody once again to go take the poll. We have another one open. But you know, you kind of touched on this point, but I really want to kind of emphasize and get a clear answer on this. What happens to the old VM that's running over in over on VMware? What happens after we've converted it, bring it online on our new Hyper-V infrastructure?
So the old VM is there on the VMware host. It is there in a stopped or started state based on user preference. It is there in the same state with VMware tools installed.
So we're not going to uninstall the tools from that original copy.
Correct.
That can still run if you need it.
Correct. So if you remember this, one of the steps was restoring from the snapshot that we took. So the old VM is going to be there. Now, based on your IT processes, based on whatever testing methodologies you have to figure out when you can turn on the destination VM, when you can make that your current environment, you can basically figure out a way to smoke test and then say, hey, now we are all good, let's decommission the old environment and bring up the new environment. Or whatever your requirements are, based on that, you can figure out a plan. But both of those VMs are available, and you can make a choice that meets your requirements, basically.
Great. Now, I have an interesting question that came in as well. You know, let's say people are in the process of moving VMs between data centers. So I have a data center, let's say, in Seattle that's VMware. I want to migrate all of my VMs to a data center in New York that's running Hyper-V. Do we have any kind of distance limitations as far as this process of collecting things, moving them? Or could you go across data center as part of this process?
So what we care about is that what networks are the VMware and Hyper-V host part of?
Okay.
And can the converter machine talk to the VMware host and the Hyper-V machine? So it is based on how you have set up your network configuration. If your converter machine can talk to VMware, and if your converter machine can talk to Hyper-V, then it can go across whatever bandwidth or geolocation.
Great.
But it's the way you've set up your network.
So if you had, let's say, a VLAN, a virtual LAN that spanned the two sites, everything can communicate. Maybe it's even on the same IP address scheme.
It should work, no problem. It's based on your network configuration, essentially.
Great. And then one final question is, part of this section, you know, we kind of cut away and said, hey, here's before, here's after. What's kind of an average length of time it takes to actually convert a virtual machine?
There are a lot of factors that determine the average length. There is disk size, then there is your network throughput. So when you talk about conversion, you basically figure out all of these parameters and plan based on those parameters. It's not a conversion takes X number of minutes or hours. It's based on what your network throughput is. For example, if it is a 1 Gbps network throughput and you have a 20 GB disk, for example, right? As an example.
It's going to take a while.
This could take up to an hour for conversion. And this is, again, depends on a lot of factors, like at that point, how many disks are there and what's the size and a lot of different factors.
I mean, I think to kind of draw a parallel, it's like asking how how long will a live migration or a vMotion take? It depends, right? You know, what's running in the VM, network speed, disk speed. So, you know, we can't come up and say it's going to take 4 minutes, anything like that. Really, it depends, but we're on the order of minutes. You know, it's not going to take like 10 hours to do. We're on the order of minutes,
if
right?
If you have terabytes of data, then it could be in the order of magnitude, it could be hours.
Okay.
Right.
So again, it really depends, but
right,
most
exactly.
things is you're going to do a couple in a day, a couple in an hour, that type
you have
of
to
scale.
Phase it out and plan a phased migration.
But you know, if you're doing automation, right, it doesn't really matter, right? You go kick it off, come back a couple days later, hey, everything's done. So I think that's one of the nice advantages of automation as well, where you don't have to sit there and, you know, do one, wait, go do the second.
Watch
as well.
It happening. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's jump back to the demo, shall we?
Great. So that was the VM conversion. Now I want to take a segue and show you the disk conversion that we talked about earlier. So what I have here is my command prompt where I'm going to launch the disk conversion utility. This is the MEMC install location. So what you will find in the install location is a couple of command line utilities, one for disk conversion, other one for VM conversion. I'm going to show you the VM conversion utility, but I'm not going to go over the conversion, but I'm going to actually trigger a disk conversion through the command line. So MVDC is the name of the disk conversion utility, and you will notice that there are two parameters that it expects, the source, where is the VMDK, and the destination, where do I want the VHD. So in this case, I'm going to say I want a demo VHD on this path, and this is the source, it's test VMDK on my source directory. So I'm going to actually do an offline disk conversion here with these two parameters. There's an optional parameter switch as well that lets you specify whether the VHD can be dynamic. Right now it's going to be fixed. So this actually triggers the disk conversion, and what you will notice is that it's going to go through it for a little bit of time, and once completed, what you will notice here is I created a VM based on a disk conversion that already happened. So I created a VM by attaching the converted VHD. And this VM, if you notice, is a Windows 7 VM. If I click on it, you'll notice that. And basically, this VM was converted through the disk conversion utility, and the VM was created and the VHD attached to this VM. And if I just go over the settings a little bit, again, you will notice here that this is the VHD that I converted. This was offline, but then I created a Hyper-V VM, attached this VHD, and this VM is now running and good.
Great.
So that's the disk conversion utility. A couple of things here to notice is that it's going to go through your progress on the command line, and this can be plugged into your script. So MVDC, for example, can be plugged into your invoke through your PowerShell script, and you can do a disk conversion through the PowerShell script. So that's an interesting fact to know. Other thing I want to do is show you the machine conversion, for which I launched another command prompt.
Now, as we go ahead and get that up and running, you know, one question that I kind of want to ask and bring up, I've seen this happen a few times as well already, is do we have an option to roll back, or what happens if this process fails? Now, I think one thing is important to keep in mind, that we're not destroying the original VM over in your VMware environment, right? We're not taking that down, not getting rid of that.
Exactly.
But what's our rollback options? What if the conversion fails? What happens if we get an error? What happens if that host crashes for whatever reason?
So if the conversion fails, you always have the snapshot where you can, the tool automatically restores from the snapshot. So that's one safe mechanism. Or if that doesn't happen, then you have the snapshot itself left in, and you can actually go manually restore from that snapshot. Right? So those are the two fallback options if the conversion fails at any point. The conversion is not going to touch the source in any way and tamper with the source, delete the VM, so your VM is actually safe. You don't have to worry about your source at all at any point during the conversion. So if the conversion fails, all that is happening is that the VM is not coming up on Hyper-V, and you'll have to figure out what's happening, and then go through the log file and figure out troubleshooting steps, reach out to support or whatever you're doing to try the conversion again. So that's basically is what's going to happen. The source itself is left unaltered, so you're actually safe it from that perspective.
Great.
The conversion fails. Actually, this one I went through, the conversion went through, so I'm going to actually show the MVMC, the VM conversion command line on this command prompt itself, so I didn't have to open the other command prompt. So for MVMC, and we'll go look at the disk a little bit later, for MVMC, hang on a second.
We'll pull that up.
Yeah.
Now, while you're getting that up and running, you know, one question that I've been asked a few times is, doesn't Virtual Machine Manager have a V2V conversion as well? And why would I use MVMC versus VMM? And so really, you know, the way we break it down is not everybody has VMM and system-centered in their environment. So you can use this MVMC tool as a completely independent free download. You're not required to have VMM. You're not required to have system-centered. So if you're thinking about just kind of trying out Microsoft Hyper-V, a hypervisor, you get this tool as a free download. You can then download the free Hyper-V Server 2012 as kind of that actual hypervisor. Again, free download. It supports clusters. It supports 64 nodes, live migration, storage live migration, share nothing live migration, cluster shared volumes. So really, it's an opportunity for you to get a free tool without needing the additional overhead of installing VMM.
That's correct. So if you're looking for a way to move to Hyper-V and you don't have a managed system center managed environment yet, then this is a great tool to actually try and convert to Hyper-V. You're absolutely right. So I did get the MVMC command line utility up and running. So what you will see here is, I'm not going to run through this as I ran through the disk converter, but if you remember the UI, there was a bunch of parameters. And what you will notice in the command line is similar set of input as what you provided in the UI. So what our goal is, basically, once you get comfortable with a couple of migrations in the UI, you know what the parameters are, then you can actually start scripting this conversion through the command line. So you have a bunch of parameters, for example, like whether the VHT needs to be a dynamic VHT, what is the guest VM password and username, the guest VM itself, which should be a fully qualified domain name of the VM that you're trying to convert, whether the VM should be on, the destination VM, whether the source VM should be on. You know, we saw all of this input in the UI. So if you look at the command line, the parameters are very similar. The input are very similar to what you provided in the UI, and then you can script this into your automation workflow or into PowerShell or whatever other scripts you're building. So that's quickly what I wanted to show. Now I'm going to go to Hyper-V, and then since we had this disk already converted, demo.vht, from a VMDK, what I'm going to do is try attaching this disk to the converted VHT.
All right, let's take a look. And so what you're going to show us now is actually Hyper-V Manager, right?
That's correct.
We haven't really spent any time on this, so for some of our VMware admins out there, they may not be too familiar with it. But basically, Hyper-V Manager is our standalone Windows Server virtual machine management system. So this is where you create VMs, VHDs, virtual networks. And people say, well, what's the difference between that versus Virtual Machine Manager? Well, Virtual Machine Manager is when we will go and manage multiple systems at scale. So Hyper-V Manager, single system, standalone box, you can connect remotely. But then when you want to scale up and manage across the enterprise, that's when we recommend bringing in Virtual Machine Manager for that broad enterprise level management.
And if you're familiar with VMware, you can think of VMM analogous to vCenter, for example.
Great example, yep.
And your Hyper-V host, of course, is analogous to ESX or ESXi host. So that's how you should think about it if you're a VMware admin.
Great, great. So let's actually take a look at this inside Hyper-V Manager then.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is actually create a VM because this was an offline disk conversion. We didn't get the VM as part of this scenario. So we're going to just create a VM. I'm going to call it Demo VM. I'm going to specify the startup memory as 512 MB for this, leave it at that, leave the NIC in a disconnected state. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to say use an existing virtual hard disk. And for this, I'm going to provide the hard disk that I converted, the VHD that I converted from VMDK. All right, so let's go there. You remember it's F-drive, destination, demo VHD. I'm going to use that. There you go. So that got attached. Now I'm going to start the VM.
Oh, And there we go. Windows is starting. Everything is coming online.
Yeah. Isn't that a pretty sight?
Nice, nice. So what we've shown here, you know, over the course of this demo is really walking through the MCMV, Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, taking old resources, pulling them over, uninstalling the VMware tools, adding our integration components, attaching our disk, converting the disk. So basically, you know, we've taken all those individual pieces over on the VMware side, moved them over to Hyper-V side, and then put them back together. Finally, brought our VM online back over on the Microsoft side.
Yeah, that's a great summary. And if you look at the demo VM, it's automatically installing the drivers needed. The integration components are going to be there because it's a Windows 7 VMDK to VHD conversion. So everything is going to be good on this one. You don't need the integration components installed on this. So because it's automatically there in there. So you're going to have it seamlessly working for you. So that's all I had to show on the demo. What I'm going to do is go back the slides.
And while we're switching over, we want to remind you that our final poll is now open, asking about your satisfaction with the event. So this is our most important poll. So please, please, please just take a moment. Let us know your feedback on this event, whether you liked it, whether you learned a lot from it, because we really do try to take this feedback and make the events better. So if you could, please switch over to the poll, fill it out, and of course, give us some good feedback. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we did in this session, right? So what are the takeaways? I hope that at the end of the session, our viewers who have been watching this session can understand MVMC's capabilities better, can understand what the tool does, how, you know, what scenarios they can use it for, how they can use it for through the UI, through the command line, what are the different parameters in the UI, what are the different configurations supported on VMware, what are the disk types supported, what are the Hyper-V destinations supported. I hope there's a better understanding of that. And also, how to actually use the tool through the UI, what are the inputs, and what are the inputs for the disk conversion and the MVMC command line utility. I hope there's a better understanding of that as a key takeaway. If you look at the resources,
well, yeah, I'll take you through the resources. So first of all, if you want to learn kind of basic information about that, you can check that out from our TechNet page, aka.msmvmc-technet, to actually download this, which I'm sure everyone wants to now, aka.msmvmc-download, or you can just search downloads.microsoft.com for the MCMV. And finally, our TechNet forum, which is a great kind of initial place to go for support if you have questions, can I do this way? And you can find that at aka.ms/mvmc-forums. Now, if you want to learn more about some of our other solution accelerators we have available, such as Security and Compliance Manager, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, the Assessment and Planning Toolkit, the Virtual Machine Servicing Tool, and quite a few more, check out the Microsoft Virtual Academy as well. So we have a whole series of courses focusing on all these different solution accelerators. Don't forget to also check out our IT camps and all of our other online training resources. And with that, I'd like to thank Anu for joining us today. I hope you learned a lot. And once again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here. And I hope our viewers got a lot of takeaways from this session.
I think so. We learned a lot. We learned about VMs, VMware, VMM. And finally, thank you, Anu V. Lots of Vs today. Thanks, guys.